as you so eloquently put it, what does it mean? It signifies that the regime of Kinshasa is sort of confused. They don't know exactly what they want to do because everybody has been insisting, like the UN, even though they leveled sanctions against Nanga and others, the UN, EAC, SADC, joint SADC-EAC summit, even the African Union, they insist, they emphasize that in the context of the dual processes of Luanda, with President Lourenco facilitating dialogue, and the Nairobi process, President Tshisekedi has to speak, has to talk to Mr. Nanga and Mr. Makenga, who's the military chief of all the operations there, and Mr. Bisimwa. It's quite a confusing contradiction because all these organizations that I mentioned earlier on insist that Mr. Tshisekedi must talk to Mr. Nanga. Yet, Mr. Tshisekedi comes up with a bounty on the person he's supposed to sit with to solve the problem.
So, as an analyst of African politics, where does Rwanda fit in all this?
From my perspective as a trained political scientist, Rwanda is only a consequence, one of the consequences of the authoritarian drift in DRC, which has allowed Congo to become vulnerable, different vulnerabilities. Rwanda is one of the symptoms of the weakness of the Congolese state. The national army, any state in the world, any modern state in the world, one of the elements that reflect or mirror the maturity and the strength and efficiency of the state, it's army. Tell me how you manage the army and I'll tell you what kind of state you are. So if the national state has to subcontract genocidal forces, has to subcontract militias, entrained militias, give them weapons, give them ammunition and mercenaries. So they create some kind of insecurity in their region, and Rwanda intervenes saying our security is threatened, number one, by genocidal forces who associate with the Congolese army and other militias. But the Congolese government says Rwanda is part of the problem. Rwanda wants to balkanize us. Rwanda wants to occupy our territory, to illegally exploit our minerals. But as long as you don't have national cohesion inside the Congo, as long as you have a crisis of legitimacy, there's no way you can address the issue of Rwanda.
And the M23 armed group is pushing and pushing and
pushing, it is pushing
into the Congo.
Yeah.
According to the latest today's, not only have the northern South Kivu provinces, Goma and Bukavu, but they are also entering to the Naiboyondo village, 100 kilometers north of Goma.
Yeah,
so where is this heading? What do you see the end game here?
No, they are, as an analyst, I will only point to two options. The first option is that somehow, by what they call in Latin Deus ex machina, by some power of God or some factor, Tshisekedi comes to his rational sense and then he realizes that he has to talk to Nanga. But if he talks to them, then there could be a compromise where, because people say, let's just go back to constitutional democracy. You have to comply with the constitution. If he talks to Nanga, not only Nanga, and Joseph Kabila as well, Moise Katumbi, the former governor of the Greater Katanga, and many other opposition leaders who are in exile now. And this dialogue here will be easier dialogue. But the second option, which is the worst case scenario, is that he refuses to talk to Kabila, to Nanga and others. And these people are getting stronger now because they've recruited more than 4,000 Congolese soldiers. And recently, I think it was yesterday, thousands of Wazalendos who used to be with the government army now have joined Mr. Nanga's IFC M23. And above that, more importantly, the whole arsenal left behind, including combat helicopters, missiles, tank, and so on and so forth. So these people have got formidable firepower. Even if Rwanda does intervene, they are capable of going to Kinshasa. So that would be the second option. But we have to be peacemakers here. We choose peace. We say the first option is best. It's not too late.